Krishna, everyone. So we'll just review what we discussed in the last session. We did like 8 to 12, right? The process of knowledge. The different, what is the steps involved in acquiring the knowledge, ultimately leading to realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some of the points, which you remember or any things you want to share?
They talked about 20 items. And,
That's why, because last section, last six chapters includes the jnana also, right? That's why some of them are relevant to the jnanis. We discussed that part. So any striking these things about all the qualities? Anything which you find it very new or something? Like, for example, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and rest. That's one thing, We read like the relevant sections of the purport, but anything you can share briefly? Anybody?
Receiving honor from others,
so not anxious to have satisfaction of being honored by others. So we are not looking forward for honor. That's humility. Anything, Prabhu?
Non-violence, Mataji. Putting anybody in distress.
Then somebody was saying, the Sangeeta was saying, so if we don't utilize our soul's propensity to devotional service, we are also committing violence against ourselves. Right? Atmahana. Yeah?
Important takeaway is that just accepting birth, death, old age and disease, okay, let's take it like that. But realizing it as a true distress situation,
miseries,
then we can start acting on that.
Seriously, yeah. That's a very good point, yeah. That's one of the quality, One should so Prabhupada says in the purport, like, devotees have pessimistic attitude about the material world. So that's good in one way, because that's actually realistic attitude, realistic view. Instead of, in illusion thinking that we'll live forever, we know birth, death, old age and disease are going to come and that's going to be painful. So then devotee is always alert in this discharge of his duty. Okay, it's fine, right? We just covered four verses. Everything is about acquiring the knowledge, basically, how to eventually, which leads to realizing the Krishna. So now 13 to 19, I don't know how many we'll cover, we'll see. So in this section, Krishna is going to discuss about the knower, basically. Soul and the super soul. The two types of knowers, right? Individual soul and super soul. So first verse is about the soul, and the next 14 onwards till 18 is about super soul. So text number 13. Gneyam yattat pravakshyami. Gneyam yattat pravakshyami. Yajnyatvam rutam ashnute. Anadi matparam brahma nasatanna satyuchate. I shall now explain the knowable, knowing which you will taste the eternal. Brahman, the spirit beginless and subordinate to me, lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. So what he is saying, I shall now explain the knowable. Knowable. Name, the knowable. That which is to be known. Knowing which you will taste the eternal Brahman, the spirit beginless and subordinate to me. So we will talk about what is this Brahman, which lies beyond the cause and effect of this material world. Okay, so he is going to explain in the next few verses about the knowable, basically the supreme knower, the super soul, by which one can realize oneself as a self, which is soul, basically soul, beyond this material world. So let's read the first paragraph.
The Lord has explained the field of activities and the knower of the field. He has also explained the process of knowing the knower of the field of activities. Now he begins to explain the knowable, first the soul and then the super soul. By knowledge of the knower, both the soul and the super soul, one can relish the nectar of life. As explained in the second chapter, the living entity is eternal. This is also confirmed here. There is no specific date at which the jiva was born. Nor can anyone trace out the history of the jivatma's manifestation from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, it is beginningless. The Vedic literature confirms. Katha
Jayate Mrete Va Vipaschit.
The knower of the body is never born and never dies, and he is full of knowledge.
Okay, so some of the points Prabhupada is talking about the soul basically, and some brief summary of, you know, where we are with respect to this chapter. So Krishna already explained the body, field of activities, you know, what all it contains, the 24 elements. He also explained the knower, you know, the soul. Now a process of knowledge, 8 to 12 we discussed already. Now he begins to explain the knower again, the soul and the super soul.
What is the knower of the body?
Knower of the body is the soul. Soul knows about the body, right?
No.
Individual knower. Then some other points Prabhupada is adding, that the living entity is eternal. We never know at what point it's born. We cannot say. It's as good as eternal. Like, you know, when we in mathematics we say it's a big number, we say as good as infinity, right? It's like that. It's so far back in time that we cannot say when exactly it is. It's like that. We cannot pinpoint the particular time. So that's why he is also called, living entity is also called beginningless. You know, there was no beginning actually. But there was one point where Krishna created us. Right? So that's why Prabhupada is saying the knower of the body is never born and never dies and is full of knowledge. The soul is never born and never dies. So what is born and death is the body. And it's full of knowledge. Right now we are, because of identification with the body, we are full of ignorance. So these are some of the points. Another similar term Prabhupada says is that we are also called as Nityabaddha entities. Nityabaddha means eternally conditioned. But actually we are eternally in spiritual world, right? With Krishna. But then the time when we got into this material world is so far back that it's as good as eternal. That's why you know, it defines it as eternally conditioned. And the living entities in the spiritual world are eternally liberated. That's Nityabaddha, Nityamukta. Something related. So next paragraph we'll read from fourth line. The living entities are eternally
in the service of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed by Lord Chaitanya in his teachings. Therefore, the description of Brahman mentioned in this verse in relation to the individual soul, and when the word Brahman is applied to the living entity, it is to be understood that he is
Vijnana Brahma.
Vijnana Brahma as opposed to Ananda Brahma. Ananda Brahma is the supreme Brahman personality of Godhead.
Okay, so in this section Srila Prabhupada is clarifying what is this Brahman. So Brahman also, Brahman is a word interchangeably used to describe three different aspects in different contexts. Sometimes it's referred to the impersonal Brahman effulgence, which that's what we usually are understand. The second part could also refer to individual soul. Third, it also refers to sometimes material world. So in this context, that's why Prabhupada is clarifying, this Brahman which is referred is actually is referring to individual soul. So that's why there is no
confusion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Brahman as well, or sometimes even as super soul, right? Like the supreme also sometimes referred
to. No.
Not
that is Parabrahman, right? No, Brahman we generally refer to as the effulgence of the Lord, right? The impersonal effulgence, which the impersonal is merged into. Yeah. Okay, so here it refers to individual living entity. That's what, you know, to be clear actually. So if you say Brahman, the spirit, beginningless, subordinate to me, it means a living entity. Okay, and then other point he's saying is it's a Vijnana Brahma. So this is related to again the different types of realizations of Brahman we discussed, right? Like Annamaya, Pranamaya, right? Vijnanamaya, Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya. So that's what he's really referring to, Vijnana Brahma and Ananda Brahma. So something related to the earlier verse. If you don't understand, it's okay. No, don't get stuck.
Brahman in which context it is individual soul?
So based on the context, we should understand it's referring to individual soul. In this context, it's referring to individual soul.
So what Brahman means like?
That's what I'm saying. Brahman term is used
general,
in general, most of the time, it means impersonal effulgence of the Lord. No, the energy of the Lord. No, the light emanating from the Lord. In general, most of the time. But sometimes it also refers to living entity, and sometimes it also refers to material world. Material nature. So in this context, it's referring to individual soul. That's why, you know, I wanted to clarify that. Okay? Yeah. This this fundamental point, Prabhupada is saying the living entities are eternally in the service of the Supreme Lord. So that is their constitutional position, to serve the Supreme Lord. So there is a very nice section in Srimad Bhagavatam we were reading recently. In the first canto, third chapter, it describes basically the scientifically that one living entity can never become God. How it says is that basically if number of qualities the Lord has is considered as 100% qualities. Especially Krishna displays 100% of his all the qualities, right? In fullness. Vishnu Tattva can only display 93%. Can only display means they have the potency, but they display only 93% based on the situation. For example, Narasimhadev is only anger personified. He displayed only his, you know, anger mood. But he didn't display his Rasa Leela or some other pastimes like that. They have full potency, but they display according to the situation. Vishnu Tattva. Then Shiva Tattva, it's 84% of all the qualities. They can manifest at most. And Jiva Tattva, the topmost Jiva Brahma, can manifest 73% of the qualities. Or even pure devotees can fully realize themselves and manifest 73% of the qualities. So even if we try hard, the best we can, at the most we can come is 73%. So by definition, we can never be equal to God. That makes it very, very clear. Even the thought that, okay, one day I'll become God is very illusory, basically. From this, it's very clear. That's why Prabhupada is saying, living entities are eternally in service. Basically, the point in Chaitanya Charitamrita which he refers to here is the verse is called Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Bhritya. That means there is only one God Krishna, everybody else is servants. That's the statement he is referring to in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Okay. So we'll go to the next.
What did you say about
Nitya Badhyan? I said we are eternally conditioned, you know, the time.
Means the soul?
Living entity, in the material world. Living entities in the material world, who are trying to enjoy.
Nitya Mukta.
Are the living entities in the spiritual world? Okay. Or living entities here who are pure devotees?
Why eternally? Because eventually sometime we will go back.
Yeah, exactly, that's what I'm saying. Right now we are eternally conditioned because the time how long we have been conditioned is forever. It was a long time back. So many, I don't know when. But Prabhupada says the moment we realize we become pure devotee, we will become eternally liberated. Because Krishna says, right, once you go back, you don't come back again. You see the point?
So eternally means, you know, it's permanent, right? So
no, eternally means as, that's what I mean, it refers to infinity. We don't know the time when it started. That's what it means. It's not like they don't have a choice to go to somewhere else. It's not like that.
Infinity, half of infinity is also infinity like that.
No, he doesn't mean, he's saying basically are they stuck in this position. That's what he's asking. Mm-hmm. Right, Prabhu? No, they can transition to liberated stage, eternally liberated.
Krishna, he gave that lecture, he was talking about how we can explain this with our hand. The thumb is Paramatma or God, Krishna, without whom nothing we can do. The thumb is the most important and vital organ, is the thumb. Then the remaining four, one is the pinky, is like the material world, right? That is the material world. Then there is Baddhatma, which is all bound entities. Muktatma, who they were all here as Baddhatmas, but they then obtained liberation. And then the Nitya Suris, like Garuda,
they are already always
already there and always will be there. So that's how we explain.
Oh, very nice. Okay, we'll go to the next verse, text number 14. So 14 onwards is now talking about super soul. Sarvatapani padam tat sarvatokshi kshiro mukham sarvata shruti malloke sarvam avritya tishtati. Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way the super soul exists pervading everything. So here it's saying the super soul, but he's saying he has his hands, legs everywhere. So we'll see, you know, very nice description, you know, what it means. From second line, he exists.
He exists in his all-pervading form, and in him exists all the individual living entities, beginning from the first great teacher, Brahma, down to the small ants. There are unlimited heads, legs, hands and eyes, and unlimited living entities. All are existing in and on the super soul. Therefore, the super soul is all pervading.
Mm.
The individual.
Okay, we can pause there. So that's the point. Why super soul is all pervading means, in every living entity, the Lord is existing as super soul, and every living entity has unlimited heads, legs. So seemingly, you know, Lord also, super soul is manifesting. Unlimited heads, legs, eyes, etc. That's why it's all pervading. It's existing everywhere. Even the this one also has super soul. Even the matter is pervaded by super soul. That's why we respect everything. Okay, continuing further, the supreme is different from the individual soul.
The supreme is different from the individual soul. The supreme Lord can extend his hand without limit. The individual soul cannot. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that if anyone offers him a flower or fruit or a little water, he accepts it. If the Lord is a far distance away, how can he accept things? This is the omnipotence of the Lord. Even though he is situated in his own abode, far, far away from earth, he can extend his hand to accept what anyone offers. That is his potency. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Bhuloka eva
nivasati
akhilatma bhuta. Although he is always engaged in pastimes in his transcendental planet, he is all pervading. The individual soul cannot claim that he is all pervading.
Mm.
Therefore, this verse describes the supreme soul, the personality of Godhead, not the individual soul.
Mm. So basically, some of the verses are misinterpreted. That's why Prabhupada is clarifying very clearly, you know, what this verse means, whom it relates to, everything. For us, it may be obvious from the translation. But you know, sometimes translation also, Sanskrit words can be misinterpreted, like, or differently interpreted. So that's why he's clarifying, you know, this verse is referring to super soul, not the individual soul. So the point Prabhupada is saying in the next paragraph is that Lord, even though he's situated in Goloka, he is all pervading through his energies, and he can accept the devotee's prayers and offerings, everything, even though he's situated in Goloka. So not simultaneously is far, at the same time is very near. So this point Prabhupada is saying that he is situated in his own abode, far, far away from earth. He can extend his hand to accept that whatever anyone offers. So there are two verses related to this, two concepts. So one concept is Krishna is described as his senses are interchangeable. That's a point. That means any sense can act the function as any other sense. Like through ears, he can accept offerings. Like we only eat through mouth, right? But Krishna can eat through ears. By hearing the prayers, he accepts. And through glands, he can impregnate. Like, you know, through glancing material nature, impregnated. So like that, these are some of the examples. Any sense can act like any other sense. That is the Lord. So that's how he accepts the offerings. And another point is that, you know, this concept that, you know, he extends his hand to accept whatever anyone offers. This reminds me of one thing which I often hear. Basically, there is one prayer which says, O Lord, I am fallen in this material conditional existence. Please have mercy on me. Please extend your hand to deliver me. That's a prayer. This is paraphrasing of this prayer. Like, you know, I am drowning in this ocean of material existence. When you are drowning, somebody from top offers a hand, you hold the hand, then you can get out, right? Like that. So please extend your hand to deliver me. That's a prayer. So then the commentary, you know, of when we heard the explanation of this verse, what does it mean? That from Goloka, Lord, big hand comes like this, you know, coming to us like this. Does this mean like that? No. It means that Lord sends a spiritual master who is his representative to deliver the conditioned soul. That whole sentence means like that. He sends a spiritual master who can be as approachable as directly as a person to us. Through his guidance and mercy and instructions, we can get delivered. That's what it means, you know, extending his hand. So when I heard this extending his hand, I remembered that point. Okay. We'll go to the next one then. Text number 15. Sarvendriya guna basham, sarvendriya vivarjitam, asaktam sarva brechaiva, nirgunam guna boktarcha. The super soul is the original source of all senses, yet he is without senses. Oh, these are very nice translations. He is unattached, although he is the maintainer of all living entities. He transcends the modes of nature, and at the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. Okay, let's understand each one. The super soul is the original source of all the senses. So basically all our senses are originating from him, right? He is the source. Yet he is without senses. Actually, in the purport, Prabhupada clarifies what it means is, he is without materially contaminated senses. So he has transcendental senses. Okay, and the next one is, he is unattached, although he is a maintainer of all living entities. So he maintains all living entities. We are all surviving, existing, whatever we are doing is because of his energies and his creation, everything. Right? So he is a maintainer. But at the same time, he is detached. So like we can think of examples of parents, right? Seemingly we are maintainers of our children. But if something happens to the child, we get affected. If child is sick, no, mother's morale goes down, mother or father. The child gets good grade and top number one or something, you know, Prabhu was saying, they put him even on the car. No, my child is a honor student, like a sticker. No, so then their morale goes up. So then that means we are completely attached, that their up and down is equal to mother's or father's up and down. But Krishna is different. He is completely detached. He doesn't, as the living entity tries to enjoy this material world on its own based on misusing the free will, and he enjoys and suffers, super soul is not affected by that. Right? As we enjoy and suffer, the soul is experiencing that, but the super soul is not affected at all. That's the point. Then the next one is, he transcends the modes of nature. At the same time, he is the master of all the modes of material nature. So we know he is the master of modes of material nature, right? He says, Daiviyesha gunamai mama maya durityaya, my material energy. He also says, maya dakshena prakriti. No, under my direction, this material nature is functioning. So he is a master of material nature. At the same time, he is transcendental. That means when he comes into this material world, still he is out of his internal energy is coming. He is not influenced by the material energy. That's the point. So everything is clear, right? All these points. We'll hear more details from Prabhupada, but I thought when we read the verse, we can understand a little bit deeper. Okay. So let's read, so, you know, Prabhupada explains each of these points again now. So we'll read the purport. The Supreme Lord, although...
The source of all the senses of living entities, does not have material senses like they have. Individual souls have spiritual senses, but in conditioned life they are covered with material elements, and therefore the sense activities are exhibited through matter. The Supreme Lord's senses are not so covered. His senses are transcendental and are therefore called nirguna. Guna means the material modes, but his senses are without material covenants. It should be understood that his senses are not exactly like ours. Although he is the source of all our sensory activities, he has his transcendental senses, which are uncontaminated.
Okay, we can pause there, Prabhu. So some of the points Prabhupada is saying is, even the soul has senses, because soul has a spiritual body, right? Right? Which body is not different from the soul. But right now it's all covered. So really what we have is the spiritual senses, but right now they are all inert and they are covered. But what we perceive is through these material senses. Suddenly these material senses fail, you know, we feel as if, right, you know, we cannot hear. But actually the spiritual senses are the one which are working. When these material things are instruments, they are facilitating that. These ears, through ears we hear, but actually the soul is hearing through his spiritual senses. Okay, so similarly, but Lord has only spiritual senses. They are never covered, as different from how the living entity's senses are covered. So that's why when we purify ourselves with chanting the holy names and following the process of devotional service, what's happening is we are awakening those spiritual senses gradually, which are inert now, which are being cleansed with all this dust of material attachment and identification, and we awaken the spiritual senses. Prabhupada says these are so it's very clear to understand this concept. When we see even children, sometimes they get attracted and they dance when there is kirtan coming, right? We can easily see there. It's not like, you know, we practice over this kirtan, we have to dance and then one day we dance. Children out of 2 years, 3 years, suddenly the kirtan comes, they dance, because it's acting at the soul level basically. No, the senses, soul is experiencing the happiness. Okay, so then last from my page, it's in other words, the Lord is not impersonal. In the same paragraph, last few lines.
In other words, the Lord is not impersonal. He has his eyes, legs, hands, and everything else. And because we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, we also have these things. But his hands, legs, eyes, and senses are not contaminated by
material nature. See, it's so sometimes it's very embarrassing to read like this. Lord has his eyes, hands. it should be so obvious, but he has to be. Because some people think Lord doesn't have. That is the impersonalism and Mayavadis. So he has to tell like that, you know, Lord has his hands, he has his legs, he has his eyes. But the thing is, you know, we have those because Lord has, we are his part and parcel. But it's so, you know, offensive. Think, you know, we have it, we want to enjoy, but Lord doesn't have it. No, Lord cannot enjoy, right? We want to enjoy, but Lord cannot enjoy. Okay, next paragraph. Bhagavad Gita also confirms.
Bhagavad Gita also confirms that when the Lord appears, he appears as he is by his internal potency.
Now he is talking about the second point, that is, he transcends the modes of material nature.
His internal potency. Okay. He is not contaminated by the material energy because he is the Lord of material energy. In the Vedic literature, we find that his whole embodiment is spiritual. He has his eternal form called Satchidananda Vigraha.
We can pause there, Prabhu. Yeah. So this point is saying, even when he descends, he is not covered by the material energy. So he is always a master of material energy. Last four lines, although we do not see his head. Last five lines.
Although we do not see his head, face, hands or legs, he has them. And whenever we are elevated to the transcendental situation, we can see the Lord's form. Due to materially contaminated senses, we cannot see his form. Therefore, the impersonalists who are still materially affected cannot understand the personality of God.
So basically, the qualification to see the Lord's form is that we need to be purified enough, qualified enough to see. Even when Narada Muni, Dhruva Maharaj, is that Narada Muni, he got the mercy of the Bhakti Vedantas by serving the sages, right? He immediately got attracted to the process of devotional service and he started practicing very seriously, and he became so perfect that actually Lord Narayana or Vishnu himself comes and gives him darshan. Then he becomes very ecstatic, and ecstatic symptoms immediately manifest within him, and like that. But then Lord says, actually, you know, he disappears. He disappears, and immediately he lost his, you know, the dearmost object of his love, right? Like, so he lost it. He becomes very bewildered. Starts crying. Everything. Then the Lord speaks that, you know, I have shown you myself just only so that you can hanker more. And thus become more purified. No, I'm paraphrasing, but he's saying, I just gave you a glimpse so that you can now hanker more to come and attain me. And by doing that, you will you can make the process very perfect and become more purified. So that's the point, you know. So he's saying that actually you're not ready to see me yet. But then by mercy, I gave you my darshan. But you know, you have to come some more time before you can see me. That's Narada Muni. So, but then these days, you know, it's very cheap. We say, you know, show me God, generally say, right? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, like, we should not ask, you know, ask to see God. We should see, you know, how we can serve God so God can come and see us. That's the point, you know. That should be the attitude of devotee. You know, how I can serve, how much I can serve, how much I can improve my service, that Lord will be pleased and He will reveal Himself to me. Right? So, so any points or comments so far? Any thoughts or reflections? Hankering,
you
see.
Like Krishna will give you free trial in the beginning, and when you got the taste, you need to work for it. then only you will get. You need to pay your
price. Yeah, hard work. Oh, very nice. Very good point. Yeah, very pertinent, appropriate. Any other points?
Another question on fundamental senses. So even though, let's say, for example, we are attending any kirtan or class, so transcendental senses, they are just getting
awakened. Activated, yeah, awakened.
Like
yeah.
Even we don't know, but they...
Yeah.
Like, because when, how we perceive with the senses, right?
Yes.
Our five senses,
yes.
The kirtan or, or any dance, we perceive with five senses, but indirect, maybe directly the soul will get the benefit.
Yes.
Soul is not bounded with these five senses, that's
no.
the meaning. Even like some person don't have some
yeah, exactly.
is not working.
Yes, still they can. Yeah,
those are independent.
Independent, yes. Yeah, these are just instruments.
Like for example, person is in coma, but still if the, there are transcendental vibrations around.
Yes,
or
yeah, it will help
that
him.
That will help him the same way.
Yeah. Any other points, thoughts? So due to materially contaminated senses, we cannot see his form. That's the point basically. With our senses are contaminated now with attachment to enjoyment. So when we purify that, we can gradually see the Lord's form. Okay. So next verse 16. Bahirantasya bhutanam acharam charam evacha sukshmatva tad avigneyam durastam chantike chatad. The supreme truth exists outside and inside of all living and living beings, the moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all. So this again about super soul. He is saying he is existing outside and inside of all beings, moving and non-moving. So as we discussed, you know, both living entities and also on the, you know, dead matter, also Lord pervades. He is subtle, he is beyond the power of material senses. So through senses you cannot put a microscope as powerful as possible, try to see the soul. Even we cannot see the soul, how can we see the super soul? Although far, far away, he is also near to all. So he is far away in Goloka Vrindavan, but he is the closest to us as a super soul. He is a very, very close actually. So sometimes I remember, once in a while now kids are trying to talk more, right? So just for a few minutes or something, I and Marathi go to some other room. Suddenly Narasimha comes and 2-3 times he told, Mama, I'm alone. Mama, then I said immediately, no, you're never alone. Krishna is always there with you. No, that's, you're never alone actually. Okay, we'll read few lines. In Vedic literature,
spiritual and material worlds. Although he is far, far away, still he is near to us. These are the statements of Vedic literature.
It's, we can pause there, Mataji. Yeah. So he is both outside and inside of every living entity. Okay. Then continuing further, it is confirmed in Brahma Samhita that the devotee.
Without cessation, and confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 11.54 that he can be seen and understood only with the devotional service.
So this verse in Brahma Samhita is, if you want to note down, it's called Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. So it starts with Premanjana. That verse says that the devotees can see the Lord within the heart of their hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with saw of love. It's called saw of love, S-A-L-V, saw of love. So basically their eyes are tinged with love for the Lord. It's not just material eyes. So they have this devotional eyes, or rather, eyes filled with the love. Basically, they say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? It's like that. So they have their devotional attitude towards the Lord, by which the Lord can be seen for them. They can see the Lord, basically. So basically, the point is we have to cultivate this bhakti. So when we cultivate bhakti, we can eventually see the Lord.
Mataji says the Supreme Lord resides in both outside and inside of the living entity. At the same time, it says that he is very far away from us. So it's like, he resides in us, right? So how is far from us?
He's in Goloka Vrindavan, right? Krishna is in Goloka Vrindavan. Still, he's as an expansion, he's there within our heart. So that's why he's outside also and he's inside within us. So that's why we may feel like, without realizing the fact that Lord is so close to us, sometimes we feel despondent, right? In such situations, like, Narasimha described. No, that is just I mentioned theoretically, but how much realization I have, I'm not sure. So sometimes we feel like that, I'm alone or nobody is there talking to me like that. But we don't realize that Krishna is so close, the closest than anything else actually. The closest friend. Okay, so we'll go to the next verse, 17. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam iva chastitam bhuta bharthar cha tajnyayam grashnishu pravishnu cha. Although the super soul appears to be divided among all beings, he is never divided. He is situated as one. Although he is the maintainer of every living entity, it is to be understood that he devours and develops all. Okay, so some of the points here. He appears to be divided because he is in every living entity, right?
Mm.
Like everybody of us have super soul. So he appears to be as if somebody made lot of fragments and divided all the fragments into everybody. But still, the point is, he's never divided. So he is one. So that's why our teacher asks this question: how many super soul are there? Super souls are there in this room? The answer is one. There's only one super soul. It's not like there are number of beings. So although he is a maintainer of every living entity, he maintains them. So even though he maintains, actually he devours them. That means he kills them, annihilates them, and he develops them. So we'll see, why it is like that, how it is like that. Okay, so this is a very nice analogy Prabhupada gives to understand how he is divided, at the same time he is not divided. So let's read this analogy about the sun. This Lord is situated.
At the meridian is situated in its place, but if one goes for 5,000 miles in all directions and asks where is the sun, everyone will say that it is shining on his head. In the Vedic literature, this example is given to show that although he is undivided, he is situated as if divided.
Mm.
Also, it is said in Vedic literature that one Vishnu is present everywhere by his omnipotence, just as the sun appears in many places to many persons.
Okay, we can pause this. So this section, Prabhupada explained the first phrase in the translation, which says, even though he appears to be divided, he is not divided. So the analogy is given of the sun. So sun is situated in its place, but still individually everybody feels sun is as if is on exactly on my head, right? So as if like there is a individual sun for each one. How much ever far you go, you can always feel sun is right above my head. So like that, individually we feel I have the expansion of super soul within me, right? Individually we feel, but actually Lord is not divided like that. We feel like that, but he is not divided. He is like one. He is not like broken into pieces like how we think.
So does it mean that generally we say there are two worlds, right?
No, yeah. It is residing within the body.
Yeah, he's residing within the body, but actually he is one. That's what we are trying to say.
Yes. Means like one way to understand is that it doesn't mean that these super souls have some, you know, complicated communication mechanism, like, you know, super soul of Naresh and super soul of Shyamala, they will talk to each other to think, you know, what is the feelings. It doesn't need all that, right? That's what it means. One means he knows exactly what you are thinking, what I am thinking at the same time, like what is your desire, what is my intention, everything he knows at the same time. You see the point? If it's divided, means you need that, what is that, P2P trans, you know, some communication, right? You don't need all that, no. So it's just one, like that. Okay, so continuing further. And the Supreme Lord, all the maintainer of every living entity.
The Supreme Lord, all the maintainer of every living entity, devotes everything at the time of annihilation. This was confirmed in the 11th chapter when the Lord said that he had come to devour all the warriors assembled at Kurukshetra. He also mentioned that in the form of time, he devours also. He is annihilator, the killer of all. When there is a creation, he develops all from their original state. And at the time of annihilation, he devours them.
We can pause there. So how does he devour? As time. As time, he annihilates everything. You know how big dynasties, big kingdoms, they're popular now, or they're very, as if like, you know, nobody can break them. But just matter of time, everything will dissolve. And that's what it is. Just matter of time. So time is, as a time, he annihilates everything. At the same time, he develops also. Like as by the creation, everything starts from small, and then by the matter of creation, he develops. He gives the material bodies, you know, as a living entity grows and things like that. So even though he's maintaining, at the same time, he is a creator as well as an annihilator. Okay. Soon we'll go to the next verse. 18. Jyotisam api tajyotis tamasa paramuchyate jnanam jneyam jnanagamyam hridi sarvasya visthita visthitam. Vishthitam. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge, he is an object of knowledge, and he is a goal of knowledge. He is situated in everyone's heart. Okay, so understanding, he is a source of light in all luminous objects. So basically, within this material world, there are sun and moon, which kind of are the sources of light. But actually, their light is coming from Krishna. That's what he is saying, or super soul. He is beyond the darkness of matter. That means he is residing in the land where there is no darkness, which is Goloka Vrindavana. And he is unmanifested, you know, materially not manifested. That means we cannot perceive him through material senses. And he is knowledge, and he is object of knowledge, is a goal of knowledge. So he is full of knowledge. He is full of knowledge, that's the first phrase. He is object of knowledge and goal of, these two seem seemingly same, right? Object of knowledge, goal of knowledge. He is to be known, jnanam gamya, he is to be approached by knowledge. Yes, through all the knowledge, what we need to do is to know him. And whatever we are knowing is him. Yeah, that they are little bit slightly different. Yeah. And he is situated in everyone's heart. Okay, it's very clear. Okay. So, we'll read the first paragraph. Now, the first paragraph describes the first two, three lines about the light.
The super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, is the source of light in all luminous objects like the sun, moon and stars. In the Vedic literature, we find that in the spiritual kingdom, there is no need of sun or moon because the effulgence of the Supreme Lord is there. In the material world, that Brahma Jyotir, the Lord's spiritual effulgence, is covered by the Mahatattva, the material elements. Therefore, in this material world, we require the assistance of sun, moon, electricity, etc. for light. But in the spiritual world, there is no need of such things. It is clearly stated in the Vedic literature that because of his luminous effulgence, everything is illuminated. It is clear, therefore, that his situation is not in the material world. He is situated in the spiritual world, which is far, far away in the spiritual sky. that is also confirmed in the Vedic literature. Aditya Varnam Tamsaha Paraspat. He is just like the sun, eternally luminous, but he is far, far beyond the darkness of this material world.
Mm. Yeah, so it's very clear. So this material world, even though Brahman, it's situated in Brahman effulgence, right? The whole thing is situated in Brahman. Like, you know, from Krishna's effulgence, the whole material elements, the whole material worlds are created. Universes are situated. But at the same time, each of the universe are covered by layers. Earth, water, air, fire and ether. Everything is 10 times thicker than the earlier. That's, you know, 10 times. So that way, because they are covered by these elements of Mahatattva, there is darkness basically within this complete unit. So within that, to illuminate within the universe, there is sun and moon. But actually, the sun and moon are reflecting the light from the Brahman basically, from the Supreme Lord. So that's why, whereas in Goloka, there are no needs of sun and moon actually. Just by Krishna's presence, everything is illuminated. It's always day. There is one pastime, right? When Krishna was trying to, he stole the butter after that Govardhan, that pastime where she was making the special butter, Yashoda Mata, and then she was feeding milk to Krishna. Then the milk was overflowing, right? Then she left, dropped, she put Krishna down, and she went to rescue the milk, right? And Krishna was angry, and he came to break the pot and, you know, hide secretly, give the milk to, you know, butter to monkeys, and he was enjoying like that. So in that, actually the room was dark. He went to like room where there's nothing, but just by his body effulgence she could find out where he is. He's self-illuminating basically, you know, like that. Okay, so next paragraph is talking about this knowledge aspect. We can read that.
His knowledge is transcendental. The Vedic literature confirms that Brahman is concentrated transcendental knowledge. To one who is anxious to be transferred to that spiritual world, knowledge is given by the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. One Vedic mantra says, Tam hi devam atma buddhi prakasham mumukshar vai saranam aham parapatye. One must surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he at all wants liberation. As far as the goal of ultimate knowledge is concerned, it is also confirmed in Vedic literature, Tam eva vidit vati nityam iti. Only by knowing him, one can surpass the boundary of birth and death.
Mm. So he's saying that the devotee, crucial point here is that a person, Lord reveals the knowledge from within his heart, how to attain him. That verse, who knows this verse? Bhagavad Gita verse where he says that I give the knowledge by which you can come to me. Tesham satadayuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantite. One of the four chatusloka verses, right? 10.10. Says, you know, the person who is devoted to serving me with love, I give the intelligence by which he can come to me. So as we sincerely approach and surrender to the Lord, Krishna gives step by step instructions what to do. Okay, now, you know, you take shelter of the spiritual master, you know, you like many detailed steps actually, you know, or no, you move from this place, or so many things actually, you know, many details, step very minutely as well as micro as well as macro guidance will be given. Okay. Okay, next, last paragraph. He is situated in everyone's heart as a supreme controller.
He is situated in everyone's heart as a supreme controller.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to read actually. Basically saying he is situated in everyone's heart. And next he talks about, Prabhupada talks about difference between individual soul and super soul, which you have understood so many times. So we can skip that. You can read. So let's read the last verse, text number 19. Iti kshetram tatagnyanam gneyam choktam samasata madbhakta etad vijnaya madbhavo yopadyate. Thus the field of activities, the body, knowledge and the knowable have been summarily described by me. Only my devotees can understand this thoroughly and thus attain to my nature. So if you are not able to understand so many verses so far we discussed, we can understand, we can improve in our devotional service. So what Krishna is summarizing here is, he has explained about field of activities, Kshetra, right, Kshetra. And he also explained about knowledge and the knowable, basically knowledge and the Jnana and the Kshetrajna, knowable, no, the individual knower and the super knower have been summarily described, and now only my devotees can understand this. Okay, so let's read maybe 5-6 line down. Knowledge and development of knowledge.
Knowledge and development of knowledge mean understanding oneself in Krishna consciousness. We are being led by material consciousness, but as soon as we transfer all consciousness to Krishna's activities and realize that Krishna is everything, then we attain real knowledge. In other words, knowledge is nothing but the preliminary stage of understanding devotional service perfectly. In the 15th chapter, this will be very clearly explained.
Mm-hmm. So this point where Prabhupada is saying is, so all what is this transcendent knowledge is just converting this material consciousness into Krishna consciousness. That's what is it. That's all. So the more and more we think about in terms of what is, how to please Krishna, then more and more we are situated in real knowledge. Otherwise it's ignorance, because we are identifying as a body and we are trying to enjoy through that. So it's ignorance. But more and more we are coming to our constitutional position as servant of the Lord, we are being situated in real knowledge. That's a point. Okay. So let's read the next paragraph. Here Prabhupada is summarizing 6 to 18 verses in this chapter. 6 to 18, what was the flow? That's Prabhupada is summarizing in the next paragraph.
Now to summarize, one may understand that verses 6 and 7, beginning from Mahabhutani and continuing through Chetanadritha, they analyze the material elements and certain manifestations of the symptoms of life.
Okay, so 6 and 7 cover about the field of activities. That's what he's saying. Then?
These combine to form the body or the field of activities. And verses 8 through 12 from Amanitvam through Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam describe the process of knowledge for understanding both types of knower of the field of activities, namely the soul and the super soul.
Yeah, 8 through 12 is discussing the process of knowledge. Yeah.
Then verses 13 through 18, beginning from Anadi Mat Param and continuing through Hridi Sarvasya Vishtitam, describe the soul and the supreme Lord or the super soul.
That's the section today we covered, 13 to 18. First verse talks about the soul, 14 to 18 talk about the super soul. So everything is between 6 to 18 verses.
Three items have been described: the field of activity, the body, the process of understanding, and both the soul and the super soul. It is especially described here that only the analog devotees of the Lord can understand these three items clearly. So for these devotees, Bhagavad Gita is fully useful. It is they who can attain the supreme goal, the nature of the supreme Lord Krishna. In other words, only devotees and not others can understand Bhagavad Gita and derive the desired result.
So only devotees can understand Bhagavad Gita and all the verses and all the imports and the process of how to attain the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, they cannot. So it has to be revealed, basically. You know, as we approach the Lord with devotion, same, you know, as Krishna in his form is revealed, similarly in the form of his scripture, as words, it makes sense to us, based on how much we surrender and apply the process in our lives. That we also have seen, right? Initially, we don't understand, or so many doubts will be there, so many questions. But gradually, as year by year passes away, it feels like, you know, those questions don't bother, or it's already answered, or, you know, it's more clear, or we are able to accept better. So we have all these realizations. Um, So that's why if you see this chapter is more technical, right? That's why I said last, that's why he just described the last six chapters are jnana mixed with bhakti. The middle six chapters are pure bhakti. This is like, jnana, how to understand the different concepts. And for example, next chapter is very interesting, talks about three modes of material nature. How everything can be seen in three modes. Work can be in three modes, satisfaction can be in three modes, happiness can be in three modes. By this we can understand, how we are situated and how to understand different things. Very technical knowledge basically. It will be useful to finally come to Sarvadharma Parityaja in the 18th chapter. So any questions or comments?
As most of the verses, the outcome is just you are good in devotional service, things are fine. So how to improve in devotional service? Like what we should do every day today, like we can see, yes, we are improving in devotional service. Like theoretically, yes,
What would be your answer?
I know, just like chanting and for regular principle, I know that's all.
That's what is the solution, right? That's what we need to do. Same thing, we need to just more and more refine it, more and more avoid offenses rest of the time. So actually, devotional service is not just the time when we are chanting, this is what we need to realize. Rest of the day, whatever we do, that consciousness affects the next day chanting. Many times Prabhu says actually, when he sees somebody criticizing somebody or doing some very gross things, he says, how can they next day sit and chant again? It will haunt them, he says. It will haunt them, and next day, the moment you take your beads and start chanting, whatever fight you had earlier or something with others, it's going to haunt you. So that's what we need to remember, right? It's not just devotional, it's not just the 2 hours when I sit and chant, but rest of the day, how I maintain my consciousness, that's going to help my chanting further. So that's another point, you can consider. How rest of my day's activities are, how much I can improve their Krishna consciousness. And that strength comes from your chanting again. How much we are present with Krishna, Rumpad Maharaj says, how much we are present with Krishna during the 2 hours of chanting, that much we will be Krishna conscious in our activities rest of the day. If that 2 hours we plan and do so many things, and rest of the day it just keeps planning but nothing gets done actually. It's just in mental again, like that same thing. We can see practically. So that's what, it's discipline. Devotional service is not simple. It's said, right, for anything to achieve in this world also, they need so much hard work, right? Even to get a job or promotion, anything, so much is investment is required. Then what to think about this highest goal? How much more? Of course, our Lord is very merciful. He is very eager to take us. But at the same time, we should show our sincerity by being serious and sincere about our efforts. That's what He needs, that's all. Yeah, this is just a small token saying, I'm really, I really mean it. I want to come back to you. That's what we are showing. Otherwise, what offerings, why does he care about our offering? How much he cares about our prayers and all those things, right? This is just for him to litmus test, okay, are they really sincere like that? Just a token, whatever we are offering. Very good. Any thoughts? So next section, 20 to 27, he talks about this Prakriti and Purusha. So Prabhu, Amit Prabhu, you're asking, right? Purusha. What is that Purusha, right? Earlier when you talked. Yes. That's actually, this verse is very clear. It refers to living entity. It could be two Purushas, right? The living entity or the supreme enjoyer. But actually it refers to living entity. That will be clear in the next section. We'll try to cover the 20 to 27. I don't know how many verses are afterwards. Yeah, some more are there, okay. 35, okay. So we'll end here then. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.